Welcome to Theology for the Broken Church with the Broken Vessels Podcast. Jeremiah 18:4 states, "And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do." This is the Broken Vessels Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Simpkins. This is a podcast where we have discussions on theological themes for the broken to bring encouragement and hope in Christ. And I would like to welcome you back to a new episode in the new year of Theology for the Broken Church with the Broken Vessels Podcast with me, your host, Joshua Simpkins, and my co-host, Brad Kafer. And Brad, it's so great to see you again here in the new year. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm so excited to kick off a new year talking about gospel clarity with you today. And it's always a pleasure, man. I love this.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, we were kind of talking before we started recording and kind of looking back on 2023 and the year that we've had doing this. And I started this podcast in September of 2022. And it's just amazing the people that God has allowed me to become connected with and to be able to have come on the Broken Vessels podcast to share. And Brad being one of those guys. And the first time Brad came on the Broken Vessels podcast was as a guest to share his story. And that's way back at the end of April of last year. And he just shared his story of brokenness and coming to gospel clarity and understanding these things and how much healing and hope that has brought him and continues to bring him. And then Brad and I had talked and I offered for Brad to collaborate with me once a month on the Broken Vessels podcast. And we came up with this idea of doing this once a month at the end of the month, this thing called Theology for the Broken Church, because we have such a heart, not only for the broken in the church, but the church as a whole, the corporate church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about the fact that it would be a little bit more theological-like, you know, a little bit more seminary and maybe to some degree. And this has been an opportunity for Brad to really share the gifts that God has given him, his knowledge and his ability to really articulate things from history and the confessions and these doctrines of the faith. And it's been wonderful having Brad here to have these discussions, and especially with guys that we've been able to have on with us, like Ben Harrison, Ben Crosby, Eric Sorensen, and Dad Rod, and Ted, and Bob Hiller. I mean, we've just had a great time talking to these guys and really talking about gospel clarity and law gospel distinction and all of these things. And so year in review, Brad, we started off with our first episode together, official episode for Theology for the Broken Church. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, will there only be a few saved? And we talked about those narrow way passages. And then the month after that, we talked about
The Galatian heresy
and the many facets of the Galatian heresy that we see in modern evangelicalism and Protestantism as a whole today, how we see the Galatian heresy basically taking people away from gospel clarity and back to legalism. Yeah. And then it was after that, what was it that we talked about the month after that, Brad?
Yeah, after that, we talked about monergistic sanctification and how sanctification is the work of God's free grace and not our work that we contribute. It's not synergistic. It's the work of God.
Amen. And then after that, we talked about how Calvinism is a good thing, but it can go very wrong, and how it can be actually weaponized and twisted, what I would call neo-Calvinism today, in the way that it's used. And really, many people that are performing what we talked about in the Galatian heresy episode are people that claim to be Calvinists. But I think we did a pretty good job with Ben Harrison there talking about how that's not really what Calvin's doctrine and its fullness is really communicating. And then we talked about pastoral care.
Yeah, the pastoral nature of doctrine, which with Ben Crosby came on, and that I feel like that really helped us hone our purpose. We had had this idea, this was sort of our motivation, but seeing some of Ben's articles and listening to him on Doth Protest, having him on, it really brought a lot of clarity to what we want to actually do together, which is recover this gospel clarity and how good and sound doctrine is inherently pastoral, because it's comforting. God actually designed sound doctrine for our comfort. And so that episode really highlighted that.
Yeah. And then we were, of course, able to talk about Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving came up and we were able to have episode talking about Thanksgiving, and then having Bob Hiller on to talk about the incarnation and how that brings hope and healing to us to really recover what Christmas is really all about. And that's not the liberalism and the pietism or decaying pietism in the liberalism, but it's all about Jesus. Amen. And the gospel, which is for you. Christ for you, and not separating the manger from the cross. You can't separate the two. Amen. It's a package deal. And so it's been great having these discussions and really kind of building on one another as we've had these discussions. And so we've built a really good foundation. And when it comes to law gospel distinction and law gospel distinction, bringing gospel clarity, and then just all of the different theologians that we've been able to discuss, people like Luther, Calvin, Cranmer, and guys like that. We've talked about Walter Marshall. I mean, there's all kinds of guys that we've talked about. But what I want to talk about now, Brad, is what our vision is for the year to come. We already have some ideas and some things kind of lined up for what we're looking at for Theology for the Broken Church for this year coming up in 2024. But we want to continue to pursue gospel clarity. Amen. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Just for our listeners, what is kind of your vision for what you want to see us do in our discussions as we pursue 2024 in Theology for the Broken Church?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, it just comes down to recovering the gospel clarity that was recovered by the Reformation and bringing that to the church today. Because as you and I have talked about on our past episodes and with those other wonderful brothers we've had on and off air and everything, what we see in places like the Belgic Confession, the Westminster Confession of Faith, the London Baptist Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, all of these reformational documents have gospel clarity. And for some reason, which we've talked about here and there, especially in our Galatian heresy episode, we've lost that clarity. It's through things like pietism, moralism, and all these kind of isms that ultimately detract from the centrality of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ. And we've always been saying all along, the gospel clarity has so many implications. Has implications for preaching, if you're a pastor, has implications for the culture of your church, the community, the small groups you have. Everything hinges on the gospel. Justification by faith alone is the chief article on which the church stands or falls. And so when you start to get justification wrong or fuzzy, it affects everything from the Christian's good works to how they exist in community with one another. And so my vision is that we're just part of a renewal of the church, that pastors would get addicted to the sound of the gospel and want to proclaim it in their pulpits, that people would get addicted to the sound of the gospel and want to hear it every week and eat it every week in the Lord's Supper and see it in baptism, that the gospel would be primary and the focus and the center again in a tangible way.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because as you're talking about that, you know how it is when the new year starts and people, especially people with platforms and semi-big names or whatever, they always got to start something in the new year, like on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, or on Facebook. And it's just interesting to see some of the things that have come up in recent weeks and really right after the new year. It's like right away. I mean, they just hit the ground running with some goofy nonsense. But one of the things that I've been seeing recently is this whole idea of preaching Christ from all of Scripture and how that's not sola scriptura, which sola scriptura in a Reformed sense does not mean solo scriptura. It means the Scriptures as well as the systematics behind interpreting the Scriptures, you know, and the confessions and so on and so forth. But it's been interesting to see different guys that have been making these statements. And thank God, one thing that my pastor said is he said that one of the good things about guys that make statements like that is the pushback that they get is all gospel focused and Jesus centered. Mm-hmm. He's like, as soon as that kerfuffle started, he said it was like his Twitter feed the whole day was just Christ for you, gospel focused, gospel clarity through and through, because people were pushing back against this one dude. Amen. So I think about things like that. You know, you're talking about the implications of, of not having gospel clarity in your church. And it goes all the way from, like you say, from the seminaries to the pastors to the pulpits, right down into the pews. Yep. And so I didn't mean to alliterate that, by the way. I'm sorry. I guess it's my old Baptist in me trying to alliterate things. But the problem is that it gets down to a place where it affects the everyday life of the regular average Joe Christian sitting in the pew.
Yeah.
If you're not getting a regular diet of gospel clarity and Christ for you on Sunday morning, the means of grace and the gospel within that. We've talked about this before when I've had Timothy Baird on, but it's like you're starving your people and they're going to become spiritually malnourished. And then, you know, they got to go to their job at 8 o'clock in the morning, like delivering the mail, you know, like you do, or like me in the past when I've been driving truck, and you're trying to do your everyday life. And it's a whole lot harder when you're sitting there thinking, am I doing enough? Am I being enough? Is God pleased with me? What's God's will for my life today? Do I need to look for the sign in the sky? You know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that all trickles down from not having gospel clarity, you know, the pietism and all of that. And so I really think that what we want to do is we want to have discussions, because we've talked about this. We're talking about the broken church. We want to talk about the aspects of brokenness that we see in the church, and we want to keep on giving people Jesus, which is the answer to all of the brokenness that we have. So that really is what it comes down to.
Yeah. You brought up a great point, brother, because, you know, you're talking about those people in the real life, right? 9 to 5, you show up, clock in, and there you are, and you didn't get the gospel. You were given pietism on Sunday. What that leads to is you start to functionally place your hope back on your performance.
Yeah.
You begin to, which ultimately means like some kind of righteousness, some kind of justification is riding on that. It appeals to the sinner's innate desire for self-justification. But when you preach good works, you actually snatch away good works, because good works are those done out of faith and love. And so in order for a work to truly be good, it has to come from the root of faith. So when we preach Christ, and this is what the Reformed confessions get so clear, when we actually preach Christ, we get Christ and good works, because it frees sinners from justifying themselves. And for the first time, they're free to love God, free to love their neighbor. And so that disinterested serving my neighbor for their good, freely from the love that God has shown me in Christ, is actually the root of good works. So when you go into your job and you're focused on your performance, you're focused on yourself. So you end up using your neighbor instead of loving your neighbor. So,
well, not only that, but you're looking for acceptance maybe from your boss or from your coworkers, because you don't feel like God's accepting you. And so in a sense, you're looking for acceptance in all the wrong places, because you don't have acceptance from the church or from God in your mind, you know, from pietism.
Yeah. And you're working for assurance. You're working for your, I got to convince myself I'm okay, instead of accepting, resting upon Christ alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. You're like, okay, I better get to work. The only way I'm going to know I'm really saved is if I do this today, instead of I'm looking to Christ, I'm abiding in him by faith, and now I'm free to love.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think when one of the things I really love about Reformed theology, but not only that, but even like within Lutheran spheres, the idea of vocation, you know, and we've talked about this before, but understanding that everything that we do is a vocation, like what we're doing right now is one of our vocations. It's podcasting. Amen. And then the other vocation that we both have are being fathers and husbands. And then we have the vocation of driving a truck or driving a mail truck or delivering the mail. These are all things that God has given us. And even that, in a sense, is a means of grace for God to continue to work in us. But if we're looking to ourselves, as you said, or we're looking to others to fulfill something, that innate desire for acceptance, not understanding that we are already accepted in the Beloved, who is Christ, before the foundation of the world. When you understand that, man, like, man, you can live a peaceable and quiet life, like the Bible tells us to do. You can rest. You find contentment when you can rest. I guess that's the best way to put it. And I'm not saying we're all perfect, you know, any of us, even when we have gospel clarity and we have this understanding.
Right.
We live that sinner saint reality. It's difficult sometimes to not be discontented. But I'll tell you this, when you have gospel clarity and you have this understanding of our vocations and you understand that you're accepted in Christ, man, it is so much easier to be content with where God has you at the moment he has you.
Amen.
If you're resting in Christ.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the Lutheran tradition because, you know, you and I both being Reformed, as Michael Horton recently said on the White Horse Inn, you know, the Reformed tradition kind of riffs off of the Lutheran tradition in a way that's one-sided. Calvin right. was a student of Luther.
And, yeah.
And he said, you know, we constantly need the Lutherans to tell us the things that we say we believe but seem to forget, like law-gospel distinction
that's
and
awesome.
Two kinds of righteousness and our vocations, two kingdoms, mm-hmm. all these emphases that are there in all Protestantism, Lutheran and Reformed,
yeah.
but that Lutherans seem to stick to their guns on.
Right. Yeah, and we forget and we allow ourselves to, in the Reformed tradition, to get influenced by really these celebrity preachers that are trying to make a name for themselves on Twitter, you know, rather than looking at our tradition. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one of the things I've really appreciated is like Flame, for example, you know, he can be kind of controversial because he went from like kind of a Reformed, Calvangelical, Baptist tradition yeah. into Lutheranism. But when he talks about the two kinds of righteousness, I mean, he's just parroting Luther and it's wonderful. I'll take it all day long. And the Reformed tradition affirms that. Before God, we are passive. There's nothing we can do.
Right.
God doesn't need our good works. We can't earn anything before God. We are passive and we receive Christ. That's it. And we just rest in Christ. But coram mundo, before the world, we get active. We're not passive. We love our neighbors. What's the need? How can I serve? What does my wife need? What do my kids need? What does my coworker need? And you can begin to move towards your neighbor in love because you have these categories and these distinctions. And so I'm just so thankful for the Lutherans we've been able to have on and the influence of Luther himself and helping us recover these categories that are so central to gospel clarity. And they're central to our tradition, but we seem to lose sight of them fairly easily. So I really appreciated what Michael Horton said there in that episode. And I know you love the White Horse Inn too. So it's just been really, really helpful to think about those things and be reminded once again that my vocation is not how I justify myself. My vocation is how I share the love of Jesus with my neighbor.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's been great for me is understanding law gospel distinction. And I mean, you'll hear some Reformed guys, they'll say, well, that's a Lutheran idea. And it's like, no, that's a Reformed and a Lutheran idea. That's a Protestant idea.
Amen.
And take it even further, that's a biblical idea. Amen. In the end, you know, having that understanding. And so that's why we've pounded that pulpit so hard, is coming down to law gospel distinction being kind of the undergirding of this gospel clarity that we're talking about. But mm-hmm. you know, as we look forward to 2024 and we look forward to the kind of things that we want to maybe highlight as far as issues that we see as being a continuing problem in the church that's brought brokenness to the church. You shared about the confessions and the catechisms mm-hmm. and things like that and how we can find that great gospel clarity there. So I definitely think that one thing that we should talk about is just confessionalism as a whole.
Amen.
Because neither one of us come from a background. We both shared our backgrounds on this program. We both come from a background that is not confessional. Like,
yeah, that's right.
I've heard, you know, independent Baptists say no confession but Christ or no confession but the Bible, you know, or whatever. And it's yeah. like we all have some sort of a confession. I mean, a doctrinal statement is a confession of sorts.
Absolutely.
But it's like whenever you start talking about confessions and catechisms, people from our backgrounds, they start saying, oh, well, you're Roman Catholic. And it's like, no, that's not it at all. So I think that's a big problem. We yeah. need to get back to having that kind of language in the church to understand that catechisms and confessions are not bad. What's bad is what your confession and catechism is.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, confessionalism is just meant to be a faithful summary of scriptural teaching that protects the church from unsound doctrine.
Yeah, it's like fences.
And so, I mean, the reason why I've moved into confessionalism is because of gospel clarity. I found in the Reformed tradition, there is gospel clarity enshrined in these public documents of this is how we confess the faith. I mean, just for example, if you listen to a little bit of the Belgic Confession here, you know, it says this: however, we do not mean, properly speaking, that faith itself justifies us, for faith is only the instrument by which we embrace Christ, our righteousness. But Jesus Christ is our righteousness, crediting to us all his merits and all of his holy works that he has done for us and in our place. And faith is the instrument that keeps us in communion with him and with all of his benefits. That statement alone blows up everything we talked about in the Galatian heresy that we see creeping into our Protestant, evangelical, modern, Calvangelical context. If you just read what the Belgic Confession confesses about the nature of Christ and his righteousness and the gospel and faith, you don't have these perverse ways of abiding of what faith is, because you have a clear definition coming from the confessions. Heidelberg 21, what is true faith? That question is one of my favorites because it articulates so clearly that faith has those three components of knowing, of assenting, of trusting, that, you know, it's not only for others, but for me too. Christ is one out of sheer grace, righteousness, eternal life. So we see that faith is not a work. It's not a virtue. It doesn't depend on us. We don't conflate faith and its fruits. No, faith is just this God-given instrument that keeps us in communion with Christ and all of his benefits. And Christ is our righteousness now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have a lot that we want to get into this year, and we're both looking forward to it. Brad and I often, we communicate back and forth, and we talk about what we would like to talk about, and usually we have things kind of planned out within a couple of months in advance, and we have a lot of really good content coming your way for Theology for the Broken Church, and hopefully some extra guests that we're going to have on coming on to join us in kind of like a white horse and roundtable discussion type format, which Amen. We enjoy doing. I mean, we had a blast with the 1517 guys on our Reformation Day discussion. That was great. But yes, we want to just continue to push gospel clarity, not just from where the rubber meets the road level, which, you know, most of this podcast is about that. We're not trying to get into the really super deep theological, but we're trying to talk about theological themes for the broken to bring hope and encouragement in Christ. Well, we continue to do that with Theology for the Broken Church, but from a little bit more of a scholarly level. Yeah. And I think that's important too, because it's not just those of us sitting here in the pews that need to understand these things, but church leaders and pastors need to understand these things too and understand the damage that they can do if they're not bringing gospel clarity to their people. And that's really what Theology for the Broken Church is really all about. It's helping not just to bring gospel clarity and to push gospel clarity, but to really be a clarion call to the church and to the leaders of the church to, hey, guys, get with the program here, you know? So that's really what we're trying to do. And so I hope it's been encouraging to you all, listeners of the Broken Vessels podcast, and for those of you that are pastors and church leaders, I hope it's been encouraging to you, and I hope it's brought more passion for gospel clarity in your pulpits and in the way that you teach and disciple your people. Brad, is there anything that you'd like to add before we go ahead and close out?
Yeah, I mean, I really do pray for the pastors who listen to what we have to say on these episodes of Theology for the Broken Church, because there is nothing better than being able to give the gospel to the broken people in your midst. When you get freed, where you no longer have to give pietism, where you no longer have to keep law and burdens on the broken, some people don't know better. And they're just ministering out of a place of ignorance and that kind of thing. And so to be able to help pastors understand gospel clarity and say, I can show a merciful Christ to the least of these, when people come confessing their sin, broken by sin, relationships, and all these kind of things, addiction, suicidal thoughts, right? I mean, all these broken things that we deal with in the church, the good news is what I can give. I can give them a merciful Savior, a whole Christ, and not cast them back on themselves to their own despair. So that's really my prayer, is that pastors just get a hold of gospel clarity and see their calling is the greatest thing in the world, to share good news with those who need it most.
Amen. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to thank you so much for support in listening to the Broken Vessels podcast, your support in the encouraging words that you've given to both me and Brad in episodes Amen. That have been encouraging to you and have brought clarity and have been something that's brought you hope and encouragement in Christ, which is what we're all about here. So Amen. Just really thankful that you all listen to us. And we have a lot of great stuff coming in the new year of 2024. We're looking very much forward to it. And just pray for us. Continue to pray for us. Pray that God would continue Amen. To give us, you know, bring the guests our way that you need to hear and bring the topics our way that you need to hear. Also Amen. On the Broken Vessels Podcast Facebook group, if any of you would like to share maybe a topic that you'd be interested in us covering, we're more than open to hearing maybe something that you feel like you need some clarification on when it comes to maybe other episodes that we've done and things like that. Anytime, we're always open to that kind of feedback and that. So brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Theology for the Broken Church. We're looking forward to this year to come. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.